Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Well, I'm so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again.
We're back. It's Well After. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am on the road again. Gonna be on the road a lot this month, actually. I'm in Woodlands, Texas today and tomorrow again at the Administaff Small Business Classic Golf Tournament, the Champions Tour Tournament. And then week after next, I'm going to be broadcasting live from Palm Springs, California. And then 2 weeks after that, I'm going to be broadcasting live from Norwalk, Connecticut. So we got a lot of traveling to do. We're going to introduce you to a lot of new people this month. Really looking forward to that. We've already been doing that this week. You've met a lot of small business owners, a lot of people who've talked about some things that I think are really important, like strategic alliances, and so it's been fun. We got a lot more coming up. Joan Pride is with us. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and as you know, every week Joan is steadfast in joining us and talking to us about some of the things that Kiplinger reports in their weekly Kiplinger Letter, the flagship publication of their company that's been around now in its 82nd year. Joan Pride wasn't there when they started, but not too long after that, I think she joined them. Joan Pride, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning to you. So now, how many years after they founded the letter did you join them?
Just a couple.
Just a couple, right?
Yeah, just a couple.
Joan, the VPs squared off this week, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
The VP candidates, nominees, I should say. One real VP and one nominee squared off. And how did you think? Did you watch it?
Well, I watched parts of it because it was, you know, more of the same, the usual back and forth.
Was it hard to watch?
Yeah, for me it was.
Well, it was interesting. Talk about two worlds there.
But it was very bizarre. I mean, my jaw dropped when Cheney said, you know, this is the first time I've ever met you. I thought, how is that possible? That wasn't exactly accurate, so I don't know why he bothered to say that.
Oh, it wasn't accurate?
No, the next day they had plenty of they have him on tape or on film introducing Edwards at a prayer breakfast just like a year ago.
Oh, really?
And
maybe he forgot.
And then I guess they have footage of him swearing in Elizabeth Dole after Edwards escorted her into the Senate. So
yeah, well, he may have forgotten that.
Bizarre. There was a lot of bizarre stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the bizarre season, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I can't. And I think there's 26 days to the election, and I can't wait.
You know, I'm pretty much a news junkie and a political junkie. As you know, I have no life. But even for me, This time in the 4 year cycle, I'm ready for it to be over. And so you can imagine how people who just want to vote, you know, they just want to get a chance to vote and to try to make some sense of all this, especially younger people who don't get into the policy stuff and all that. I can see how it would be tedious for a lot of folks. Can't you?
Oh, absolutely. The one thing that's heartening is I'm reading a lot about how voter registration is up, which is nice to see because, you know, the number of people who vote over the last many years has been abysmally small.
Right. Well, you guys actually reported that this week, I think, didn't you?
I think so.
I think that was actually something you guys talked about.
That's right.
Which we're going to get to. Let's talk about the economy a little bit, Joan. That's where you guys started out this week in your letter. And we're 3 years, according to Kiplinger, into an economic expansion.
Right, but I guess the whole, even though a little topic tag here says the economy, I think I would have put the word shakeout in the topic tag because I think that's what we're really talking about. How much more, I guess, winnowing is the word we use. How much more winnowing is going to go on in a variety of industries?
Well, there is some consolidation going on. You guys report that this week, don't you?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, tell us about that. Tell us about some of the, because some of this may not be as top of mind for a lot of folks as some of the in some of the consolidations in the past.
Right, and well, and again, it's particular industries. We mentioned construction, banking, retail, airlines, auto parts, media, high tech, and some other sectors. But we're saying in those sectors, you'll probably see higher prices since you'll have some players dropping out.
You know, Joan, you know how my mind works, and I know you know you think it's.
I don't want to get into that.
I know, but the thing is that when I hear consolidation by big companies, and I hear really smart people like Joan Pride say, "Shakeout," use that term, "shakeout." When I hear that, I start salivating as a small business owner. My antenna runs up, and I start looking around for opportunities, because I'll tell you, when big companies start consolidating, when they start looking for new things that they need to do to strengthen their position to make sure that they survive, that tells me that in the consolidation process, in this, you call it winnowing. I like that term, and that fits what I'm talking about. In that whole environment, there are customers that fall through the cracks, and I don't just mean one customer or two customers here and there in this town or that town. I mean segments of customers. There are segments of customer demographics that are basically dropped through the net, and therein lies incredible niche opportunities for small businesses.
Well, yeah, and I think banking is something we've talked about where this is particularly true. When you've had bigger banks, big banks getting even bigger, and the conventional wisdom being that small banks would just fade away, it hasn't been true because small community banks, the big banks offer plenty of services, but the small community banks also offer more personalized, knowledgeable service that the big ones have trouble competing with. And you get a lot of disgruntled customers who find out that they want to go back to the community banker.
Yeah. Well, what I encourage them to do, Joan, is my audience has heard me say before, and I'm going to keep saying it as long as it's still true and as long as I have breath, and that is that every small business owner should have at least two banking relationships.
Right.
And at least one of them should be with an independent community bank, and probably the lead bank of
That's
their
right.
lead bank. And one of the reasons why, you got to have somewhere in your business model, you got to be as close as you can get to the decision maker to help you with the capital that you need and the banking services that you need. And the smaller the bank, Joan, as you know, when you walk in that door, you're a lot closer to the decision maker.
That's right.
And I do believe that there's a place for big banks and small business working with small businesses, but at least one of your relationships needs to be an independent community bank. Stand by, quick break, 20 after. We'll be right back with Joan Pride. We got more to come right after these messages. Stay with us. It's 23 after the hour. That's what Joan Pride says to me all the time when she wants to hang up on the phone when I'm talking on the phone. She just says, "See you later, alligator," and she's out of there. Right, Joan?
Absolutely.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and I'm still broadcasting live at the Administaff Small Business Classic. I'm not actually on the golf course, Joan. I'm near the golf course. I can see the golf course from where I am.
Wow.
You're pretty excited about me being near a golf course, aren't you? I mean, I know you're happy that I got
well,
to play
given
golf.
That I don't even play golf, yeah, that's really exciting for me.
I got to get you to a golf tournament one of these days, Joan.
No, thank you.
Have you ever been to one?
No, I mean, I've watched golf on TV, but I've
But
just
I mean,
don't
have you ever been
it.
To a golf tournament?
No.
It's fun.
If you
I'll
say
have to
so.
Take you to one. I'll have to take
okay.
you to one of these days. All right, we're talking about the economy, but also basically more importantly, we're talking about what's happening in the economy with regard to some of the what Joan pointed out, what they call some of the consolidations, also some shakeouts that are happening out there. One of the classic examples, Joan, that's going on right now is the airline industry, isn't it?
Boy, well, the airline industry is sort of an area unto itself because you've had, you know, the big airlines desperately trying to keep their market share, and now that's being eroded by these little upstart carriers that are coming in and providing, you know, cheaper, more efficient service.
Right. Yeah, and I'll tell you, I don't know what's going to happen. You got the legacy airliners,
right?
Delta, United, American, U.S. Air, and some of those guys. All those guys, the legacy, they're called legacy because they've been around so long. They've got all these stranded costs, so to speak, these wage contracts and all this management infrastructure. And a lot of these small upstart companies are coming in and delivering people to their destination safely and happily. And they're undercutting their prices. They're doing a good job. They're connecting them to routes that people want to be connected to. They don't have the baggage that these legacy companies have.
Right.
And you know, the legacy folks might have been able to make it if it hadn't been for 911. But you throw the new competition in with 911, the things that happen after that to the airline industry, and it's just almost been too much to bear, hasn't it?
Right. I mean, they were already, most of them were already struggling before 9/11, but that just sort of pushed things over the edge, so to speak.
And then you throw in prices of petroleum
right
now.
Oh gee, yeah, that's another big problem.
You throw that in. That's like the hat trick in reverse, isn't it?
Right. That's why you don't get that bad meal on the flight anymore, because they're trying to cut costs right and left.
That's right. Yeah. Thank goodness. That's one. That's actually one benefit, isn't it, Joan?
Right.
They can't afford the bad meal, so we don't have to put up with that. What about retail, Joan? How's retail going to be doing in the future?
Well, you know, we use the word bloated to describe the way it is now, which is probably pretty accurate. You know, just go outside and see how many stores are out there.
And
but
the new
ones
popping up all the time.
Right, exactly. But we're saying that, and this is beginning to sound a lot like the model for banking, that we're saying here that sort of the middle-tier stores will get squeezed out. So you'll still have the, you know, the economy end of the scale, the Walmarts and Targets and Kmarts, and then at the upper end you'll still have the Neiman's, you know, my favorite stores, Saks and the like.
Of course.
But what's interesting in stores, you know, a store like Kmart, for example, was really hurting, and I think Kmart is kind of struggled its way back.
Bounced back from Chapter 11.
Right.
You know, Joan, years ago, Mike Menzies, our resident banker, described...
Oh, one of my favorite people.
Yep, absolutely. You know Mike.
He's a great guy.
To him, and he, I know he gives you guys good quotes all the time. Mike Menzies explained to us how this phenomenon that you're describing right now, how it looks, and he gave us a great example of that. And he was talking about the banking industry. But what you just described in the retail industry, exactly how he described it. He called it the barbell effect.
Yep.
If you remember the old barbell, you got a big ball on each end, and you got a little skinny handle in the middle. And what his point was is, from a banking standpoint, he says, you know, we're moving more towards big banks on the one end in the big ball, and little banks on the other end in the other big ball, and the little skinny handle represents the middle-sized banks. So there are going to be fewer of those, more big ones, more small ones, fewer middle-sized. And that's just what you described, the barbell effect in the retail industry.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me, what's going to happen. You know, that the middle will get squeezed, and so
right,
you'll have two bigger ends.
And the thing about the squeezing, Joan, is that you might say, well, that sounds negative. It's only negative if the people in the middle don't position themselves properly so they can survive or successfully be acquired. And that's something
right
that's happening out there right now.
Exactly.
And so those middle companies, those middle-sized companies, have got to be able. And the thing is, Joan, this also is happening to some small businesses, but primarily to the ones that haven't morphed their business model into a 21st century model. They're still thinking in the 20th century.
Right.
And if they're doing that, if they're still in the 20th century, it's They're in trouble. If it doesn't look like they're in trouble right now, it's going to. Take a quick break. We'll be right back with Joan Price, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
I need you and your love to come on and rescue me. Come on, baby. And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, too. I'm glad I'm where I am. I'm in Woodlands, Texas, at the Administaff Small Business Classic, and I'm so proud of these guys for naming it this. Isn't that great, folks? They didn't have to do that. The Small Business Classic. Joan, did you know that? Did you know that? Of course, you know I'm in. You know where I am. I'm in Houston, Texas, at this golf tournament.
Right.
But Administaff named it the Small Business Classic.
It's the Small Business Classic?
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that something? We have our own golf tournament, Joan. I'm claiming it for us anyway. And Administaff said it was okay for me to do that.
Look, when it's the Jim Blasingame tournament, then you can claim it for your own, okay?
No. I'm claiming this for small business owners. But hey, don't bet that we won't have one of these days.
I would never bet against you, Jim.
Don't. You know, a lot of people don't bet on me, but they never bet against me.
Right.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, the Kiplinger folks have an outstanding website that I encourage you to check out, folks, when you get a chance. Make it one of your favorites, because they have good information there. A lot of it's free. Some of it you need to be part of their family, part of their community to see. But all you got to do that is to subscribe to one of their publications, which their flagship letter is now in their 82nd year. We celebrated the 81st anniversary with the patriarch, Mr. Austin Kiplinger, a couple of weeks ago. And that was the weekly. And then they have three biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter, which comes biweekly, which is the same as every 2 weeks. And also they have a magazine, Joan.
That's right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine,
which Mr. Kiplinger helped to found in its original, under its original title, which was Changing Times.
Changing
back
Times,
in 1948.
That's right. That's right.
Boy, that was a great story, getting him to tell us that story. That was so much fun.
I know. Every story he tells is entertaining.
A national treasure, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Austin Kiplinger is a national treasure, and he's one of our friends, and you got to hear him, and you can still hear him in the archives if you want to do that. Joan, give us the phone number.
Yes, our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And don't forget, you can get a 30-day free trial that I worked really hard for you on that. Joan, let's move over and talk about... let's talk about energy. As we mentioned earlier when we were talking about the airlines, we had a new dollar record this week, right?
Yes, we did.
$52, I think.
I think it was 52, that's right.
And not a record from the standpoint of inflation, adjusted for inflation. It'd have to go to about $80 a gallon to get a barrel to get up to that, but in terms of shock value, it was pretty shocking to see that for a lot of folks. And Joan, I mentioned this earlier in the previous hour. We were visiting with Sam Norwood, talking about how the economy, the report on from his professionals across the country on how the economy is doing. And you know, the last 3 months, the economy, in terms of business conditions, they've been sliding a little bit. The number is still good, but the trend is not good, and it's negative. And one of the reasons is petroleum.
That's right.
And so the problem is the shock value of the high prices, and we haven't budgeted for this. We didn't budget for that kind of thing. And now you guys are reporting that natural gas prices are going to go up 20%. What's that all about?
Well, you know, this is a big concern, and we've had this problem in previous winters. You know, but once again, heating oil and natural gas are going to be much, much higher. And this is something that Kiplinger's been talking about for a while, particularly in the natural gas area, that supply and demand were going to be so out of sync that we would see, you know, bad winter pricing for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wonder about heating oil, though. Did you guys say anything about heating oil? That's got to be going up too, and people are.
I'm not sure if we had. I mean, we really emphasized a lot that the whole natural gas issue, but now, as you point out, heating oil will rise an average of 30%, which is huge.
Well, and see, that's a lot of people in the north, especially use heating
right.
oil, not natural gas.
The northeast, particularly, I think.
Yeah, northeast is really too, and And so that's going to cut into a lot of folks. And that's going to hurt consumer spending, just like gasoline prices has already this year, isn't it?
That's right.
So, folks, you know, I don't mean to be dour, Joan, but you know, these are realities that we've got to deal with. And you know, Joan, the other thing about the petroleum situation is a lot of the price of oil right now is not because of supply and demand like it was 6-8 months ago. It's now more because of speculation, because of some of the people who speculate on petroleum and they're concerned about the Middle East. And so we get this thing settled down over there, and maybe the price will come down. That's what I'm hoping for. 20 Till, I'm Jim Blassingame. When we come back, Joan Plant and I are going to talk about technology, some new things that I'm going to tell you about, especially a new wireless technology. Right after these messages, stay with us. We're back. 17 till 43 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest, and I'm still broadcasting live from Woodlands, Texas at the Administaff Small Business Classic. The tournament starts tomorrow, Joan. The actual competition. All this week has just been pro-ams, pros and amateurs playing together, and tomorrow the tournament starts officially, and it goes through Sunday, and so we're praying that the weather will stay good,
good a golfer are you?
I played Tuesday and nobody got hurt. that's my goal at golf these days.
So that's your
nobody
standard.
To get hurt.
Okay.
I didn't hurt anybody and I didn't get hurt myself. As long as nobody has to be carried off in a gurney, I had a good day.
I thought they were getting some rain in Houston this week.
Well, they're worried. Today's the big worry. They're worried about it today. We got a little bit Monday night late, but it's been kind of holding off pretty good. But mainly, they just want to make sure that it's okay for the tournament, because this is the first one that they've done. This is the first Administaff Small Business
Club. Wow.
So anyway, we hope the rain goes a little bit north of us. Joan, let's talk about technology. There's a new Wi-Fi system coming out, WiMAX. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I barely understand Wi-Fi as it is, but now there's a new wireless system.
I thought you were our Wi-Fi expert.
Well, now it's called WiMAX. It's not even called Wi-Fi anymore. But I guess the point here that we're trying to make is that the range is much better. And we say that WiMAX can support high-speed web links 5 or more miles away, which sounds like a lot.
That's a lot. Because you're right. I have a hotspot in my office. And there's a hotspot here in the office that I'm in. Somewhere
now, how
in this
far
building,
can you go from that?
Well, somewhere in this, I'm in a building. I'm in a pretty good sized building, and I think it's probably pretty close to me. It's probably within 100 feet of me. But I just noticed when I pulled my laptop up, my IBM T41 up, that it popped up the wireless. But typically, as you say, Wi-Fi goes just, you know, maybe a couple hundred feet. I can walk out into my yard at my office outside with it if I want to. But typically, you go beyond probably, I'm thinking 100 to 150 feet, you're going to start losing. But this WiMAX is a whole new system. And, Joan, what I'm excited about is that I'm looking forward to the day that I can go down the road in a car and be handed off like on a cell phone and continue to surf the net and check my email and do work on the road.
Yeah, it sounds like that's what's coming here.
Yeah, that's what's exciting to me. And see, when that happens, that really opens up a lot of travel opportunities for a lot of people.
Right.
Meaning that they can, you know, they can. I mean, it's already getting to the point, Joan, where you can almost work wherever you want to work in so many different professions these days.
Yeah, well, that's good and that's bad, I think.
Well, it can be, unless you like to work like I do. Right.
Well, I'm just thinking about when you want to get away, you really want to get away.
Well, you're right about that. You have to really be disciplined,
right,
to get away these days, don't you? I mean, with Blackberries and you know, Palm Pilots, and being able to get your email all the time, it's kind of bombardment. But you know what, Joan? We should never be unhappy about having the capability available. If we misuse it, or if we let it take over our lives, that's not the technology's fault. And you know, that's what happens sometimes. Sometimes people blame the technology, and you know, when there's a car wreck, it's not the car's fault.
Right. Oh, no, quits the...
It's the bloke what uses it.
It's the nut using it, right.
That's right. Joan, but anyway, folks, pay attention to this WiMAX. And Joan, I guess the thing that we need to be looking at, I think you guys report that that WiMAX, this longer-range wireless capability, is going to be in PCs year after next. No, maybe 2 years more, right?
Well,
2007.
We say by 2007, so hopefully during 2006.
Now, see, I don't have any reason to believe, based on what you said here, that your Wi-Fi, your current Wi-Fi units won't work. It's just that you should be able to have, you may have to do like a little upgrade or something to be able to get the longer range, but you should still be able to use the closer range Wi-Fi. It's not going to become obsolete.
Right. Yeah, I don't see why not. Right.
If you want to get the longer range, you may have to upgrade to another.
It's just that if you get a new laptop in 2007, it will come with WiMAX and not Wi-Fi,
exactly.
I would think.
So when you start seeing WiMAX being offered, folks, buy it. Get it. You're going to want it. You're going to use it and benefit from it. Joan, let's move over and talk a little bit of politics. You guys report that more college-age voters are likely to cast ballots this year. How come?
Well, you know, I don't know that we really get into why, unless it's just they're sort of, you know, waking up and deciding it's time to start participating. But, you know, I kind of wonder, one question that's not asked here is, you know, if you have all these new people registering, how does that skew the polling? Because the polling is of likely voters, and I think, and registered voters. So I don't think they poll people who aren't registered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're thinking about registering and then you register, but someone tried to poll you before your registration and you know, you were disqualified,
right,
and then you register and vote, then that's not going to be reflected in the polling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did I make any sense there?
Well, we went off into the weeds a little bit on us there, but that's
sorry.
Okay,
so.
I know what I meant. No, I take your point, but see, you're like me. You don't have a life. Anybody who talks about polling doesn't have a life.
Right.
the thing is that I think I know why there are more college-age people voting, are registering to vote, and it's because a lot of organizations, a lot of people who have that audience, who are tapped into that audience, like some of the hip-hop organizations, they're now making a major push to vote. MTV is making a major push to vote. They're getting a lot of these people involved. And the interesting thing is, I think you guys report that more of them are likely to vote Democrat than Republican. And that's kind of an interesting thing. I think that's where the issue is, not so much in the polling. Tintel, we'll be right back with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. I'm Jim. Here's Dan Fogelberg to take us out. We're back at 17 till. No, it's not 17 till. It's 7 till. Where'd that team come from? I don't know what's going on here, folks. I get wandering off on these road trips. Joan Pride, folks, is with us, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, I get wandering off on these road trips, and I try really to focus on what I'm doing, but sometimes when I'm looking out over these golf courses, it's hard to do it.
Boy, yeah, I feel real sorry for you.
You're all busted up about this for me, aren't
you?
Yeah. Hey, Joan, the grass is so green, the air is fresh, the nice little breeze. How are things where you are? Huh?
Keep going.
Joan, one of the things, I heard speaking of young people voting,
mm-hmm.
I heard Hillary Clinton speak back in February, and she gave a statistic that was interesting, and it was a statistic that wasn't surprising. It was surprising only in that I hadn't heard it put this way before. But once you do the math, you can see that it's a statistic any of us could come up with. She said that there are 50 million women voting age in America who don't vote.
Wow.
Now, think about that. So, and that sounds like a lot, and it is, but it's not like this is something new, because there are 200 million voting age people in America, approximately. Approximately 100 million vote, right?
Right.
So that means 100 million don't vote.
Yeah. And you figure half of those are women.
51% of the population is women, so that's right. How you come up with that number. So
yeah.
So that was an easy number to come up with, but no, I'd never heard anybody say it that way. And
yeah.
When she said that, that really made me think. And, of course, she's on a mission to register those 50 million women to vote.
You know what happens then, don't you?
Yeah. Tell me. But you tell me what you think.
No, I can't. I just can't bring myself to say it.
You can do it. Go ahead.
President Hillary Clinton.
Yep. Well, it'll be candidate Hillary Clinton. I predict that in 2008.
And, I would
and,
think
and of
so.
Of course, it depends on what happens this time. Or even if Kerry wins and he does a horrible job like Kennedy did to Carter back in 80, she may still run. But that's the reason why, Joan. I said if Bush wins this time, in 2008 there will be a woman on the Republican ticket.
Ah.
Because there will be a woman on the Democrat ticket.
Yeah, I think so.
I believe that very, very strongly. Either a woman or a minority, at least, on the Republican ticket. Joan, let's move over and talk about travel. Florida. My brother is in Disney World, I should say,
mm-hmm.
this week.
Yes.
And I said, man, have you checked on it down there? Is it even still there?
Yeah.
And he was going, so I haven't heard back from him. But in terms of, I mean, Florida's going to have to really work hard to get the state ready for the tourism season next year, aren't they?
Well, and they don't have a whole lot of time because the snowbirds will be going down there in the next month, and then I think the heavy season starts at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. I've been wondering how this was going to affect the snowbird season, Joan, because. I mean, my friends tell me that the economy is kind of in a basket. Is it kind of a basket case down there?
It has to be, I would think.
And so, you know, this is going to be tough. And you know, as big an economy as Florida is, these hurricanes are popping up on the national performance numbers. You know, the production of the nation.
Yeah. Well, there were four in a row there.
Yeah, and of course the season is not over yet. You know
right.
that.
That's right.
So God bless the Floridians, and we wish them the best of luck, and hope they get everything going down there. And I know they will. They will. This is just a major setback. In terms of modern Florida, this is a historic season, hasn't it been?
I think it sure is. Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of hurricanes,
watershed.
Also in travel, people coming to the U.S. as Yosef Islam, formerly Cat Stevens, found out recently. Coming to the U.S. is going to create some. There are going to be some new issues there, aren't there?
Well, you can't sneak in anymore. You know, there's going to be fingerprinting and photographing.
Yep, and a lot more security. And you know, I'm sorry that Mr. Yosef Islam got detained, but it kind of gave me a little bit of a good feeling about the system. They should have caught him in England, but they didn't. But at least they did. You know, get him.
Yeah, it does bother me they didn't catch him in England, but like you say, they did get him, and
right.
So maybe the security efforts that we've put into place are beginning to work.
Hopefully so. Joan, right. Thank you for being here today. Good job, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
And we will see you next week.
Okay.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We could not do without her, and we won't, as long as she'll let us. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting from Woodlands, Texas, at the Administaff Small Business Classic. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.